Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text 47. Yavo Lingan Vito Hi Atma Tava Karma Nibandhanam Tato Viparyaya Klesho Maya Yogo Nivartite Yavalingan Vito Hyatma Tavat Karma Nibandhanam Tito Viparyaya Klesho Maya Yogo Nivartite Yavalingan Vito Hyatma Tavat Karma Nibandhanam Tato Viparyaya Klesho Maya Yogo Nivartite Yavalingan Vito Hyatma Tavat Karma Nibandhanam Tato Viparyaya Klesho Maya Yogo Nivartite Yavalingan Vito Hyatma Nibandhanam Toviparyaya Klesho Maya Yogo Nivartite Alingan Vito Hyatma Yavatarma Nibandhanam Parya Klesho Maya Yoga Navartite Alingan Vito Hyatma Karma Nibandhanam So, Maya Yoga Nivartite. Vaishnavis. Yavat, as long as. Linga Anvitaha, covered by the subtle body. He, indeed. Atma, the soul. Tavat, that long. Karma, a fruit of activities. Nibandhanam, bondage. Tataha, from that. Viparyayaha, reversal. Wrongly thinking the body to be the self. Kleshaha, misery. Maya Yoga, a strong relationship with the external illusory energy. Anuvartite follows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As long as the spirit soul is covered by the subtle body, consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego, he is bound to the results of his fruitive activities. Because of this covering, the spirit soul is connected with the material energy and must accordingly suffer material conditions and reversals continually, life after life. Please repeat. As long as the spirit soul is covered by the subtle body, consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego, he is bound to the results of his fruitive activities. Because of this covering, the spirit soul is connected with the material energy. It must accordingly suffer material conditions and reversals continually, life after life. Purport. The living entity is bound by the subtle body, consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego. At the time of death, therefore, the position of the mind becomes the cause for the next body. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.6, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajat ante kalevaram. At the time of death, the mind sets the criteria for the spirit souls being carried to another type of body. If a living being resists the dictation of the mind and engages the mind in the loving service of the Lord, the mind cannot degrade him. The duty of all human beings, therefore, is to keep the mind always engaged at the lotus feet of the Lord, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. When the mind is engaged at the lotus feet of Krishna, the intelligence is purified, and then the intelligence gets inspiration from the Supersoul, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. Thus, the living entity makes progress toward liberation from material bondage. The individual soul is subject to the laws of fruitive activity, but the Supersoul, Paramatma, is not affected by the fruitive activities of the individual soul. As confirmed in the Vedic Upanishad, the Paramatma and the Jivatma, who are likened to two birds, are sitting in the body. The Jivatma is enjoying her suffering by eating the fruits of the bodily activities. But the Paramatma, who is free from such bondage, witnesses and sanctions the activities of the individual soul as the individual soul desires. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In its liberated condition, the spirit soul has a spiritual body and it has spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence. But in the condition stage, all that is covered over. And the spirit soul identifies with its subtle material body, and through the subtle material body is connected with the gross material body. It's very easy to understand the gross material body. It's visible to our material senses. It's composed of various material elements, Bhumir, Apa, Nala, Vayu. It's composed of the earthly elements, you know, the watery elements, the fiery elements, the airy elements. It's like a machine, and it's visible, and we can see that it is temporary. It comes into existence at some point in time. It grows, it remains, and then it dwindles and eventually disintegrates at the time of death. And some people think, well, that's all there is. You know, the gross physical body is all that exists. There isn't any soul. There isn't any subtle body. And when the gross material body is finished, then everything is finished. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches something else, namely that at the time of death, the subtle material body carries the soul to another gross physical body. And the condition of the subtle material body determines what type of gross physical body one is going to get. So the subtle body is composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego, manas, buddhi, ahankara. And these are not visible, but we can know them by their functions. That's described in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that these subtle material elements can be understood by their functions. So false ego, or ahankara, is the most subtle material element. It causes, it's the material element that causes the soul to identify with the gross and subtle material bodies. It's like the glue that attaches us to the gross and subtle material bodies, causing us to identify with them. And the mind has its function, sankalpa vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. And we can study the mind. We can see it's always presenting us with alternatives. Should I do this or should I not do that? Should I cross the street now or should I not cross the street? Should I do this or should I do that? Should I get up or should I continue to sleep? Should I become a devotee or should I not become a devotee? Should I accept this job or should I accept some other job? Should I go to this school or should I go to that school? Should I go to this doctor or should I go to that doctor? You know, just thousands and thousands of times a day, you know, the mind is presenting us with, should I do this? Should I not do this? And the business of intelligence is to help decide, you know, what to do. If we have good intelligence, then we'll accept the right things and we'll reject the right things. If we don't have good intelligence, then we accept the wrong things and we reject the wrong things. So all of this ultimately is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the subtle material elements are under Krishna's control. Sarvasya chaham hridi sanivishto matasmitir gyanam apohanam cha. I am seated as the supersoul in everyone's heart, and from me comes memory, knowledge, forgetfulness. You know, these are functions of the subtle body, subtle material body, but they're under Krishna's control. And then, of course, the machinery of the gross physical body is also under Krishna's control. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtate brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantarudani mayaya. The soul is sitting like a passenger in the vehicle of the body, and Krishna is guiding its wanderings. And under false ego, we think we are guiding our own wanderings. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankarava mudhatma kartaha miti manyate. Actually, everything is being carried out by the material energy, the modes of nature. But under the influence of false ego, we think, you know, we are the soul controllers. I am doing this, I am doing that. And to some extent we are. We're able to desire, but the ability to carry out those activities, either of the subtle material body or the gross physical body, depends ultimately upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, you know, the functions of the subtle body are thinking, willing, feeling. But sometimes we find we can't think properly. We don't have any willpower. Our feelings become very weak. we don't have the mental or intellectual energy, you know, to kind of carry on, say, our service or our activities. So we can see sometimes we're feeling full of mental energy and with a lot of intellectual ability to be able to discriminate properly what to do or what not to do. And we're not under control of that, ultimately. Because sometimes we can see we wish we had more mental energy and we don't. Or sometimes, without even understanding why, we feel lots of mental energy and ability to do things with the mind. Ultimately, everything starts with the subtle body, and we think, we feel, we will, and then with the gross physical body, we try to carry out these activities. But ultimately, it's not under our control. You know, the physical, gross physical body can be taken away at any moment, and our ability to act with our mind and intelligence and ego is also not completely under our control. Krishna says, from me come memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness, and other activities. And he also says he can give the proper intelligence. Tesham sadada yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam vidami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna says, if somebody is engaging in devotional service, that means desiring to engage in devotional service and Krishna allowing one to do it with one's gross physical body and subtle material body. If one is in that position where one is desiring properly and Krishna is giving one the ability to act in devotional service, one's intelligence becomes purified. And Krishna says, Dadami Buddha Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayantite. I will give you the intelligence to come to me. That means we get the intelligence to control the mind, you know, to direct the mind to make the right decisions, to accept the right things, and to reject the right things. When I say reject the right things, that means reject the things that are going to take us further away from Krishna. When I say accept the right things, accept the things that are going to take us closer to Krishna. So, in one lifetime, it's possible to become completely liberated, to become free from the gross and subtle material bodies. That stage is called Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta Karmana Manasa Gira Nikolas Apivastastu Jivan Mukta Uchite. If one uses the mind, body, and words in Krishna's service, one can become liberated even within this life. One can become detached from the gross and subtle material coverings. You know, the example that Srila Prabhupada gives is like the coconut. You know, the coconut has its thick outer shell, and then it's got a thin inner shell, and then there's the actual coconut meat. And, you know, Prabhupada says that when the coconut becomes very dry, the meat of the coconut, it becomes detached. Even though it's inside the coconut, it's detached from the shells of the coconut. So, in the stage of Jivan Mukta, a devotee can become detached from both the gross and subtle material bodies and situated internally in one's sarupa. So the pure devotee may be aware of his eternal activities with Krishna in a spiritual body, while at the same time functioning in this world with the gross and subtle material bodies. And then at the end of the life, such a soul will go back home, back to Godhead, and just be situated in his or her swarupa, eternal spiritual form, in which the soul serves Krishna in loving devotion eternally. So, that's possible in one life to achieve that, but doesn't always happen. So then in the next life, I mean, Krishna explains this to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asks, what if one doesn't achieve the final goal of bhakti yoga in this life? And Krishna explains, then one takes birth again in this material world, but one takes birth in a favorable condition in a family of people who are well off, or even better, a family of devotees, and then continues on the path of devotional service from where one left off in the previous life. So that depends on the state of one's subtle, you know, material body. And for the materialist, they have no guarantee of getting another human form. It's actually one of the advantages of practicing devotional service. At least we're guaranteed a human form in the next life and an opportunity to carry on with our devotional service from whatever point that we left off. But for materialists, there's no guarantee of obtaining another human form. Again, it depends on the state of the subtle material body. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajyat antikalevram tam tam evaiti kaunteya satata bhava bhavitaha. So one has to protect the mind from contamination by the modes of material nature. Now, people understand they have to protect the body against different contaminations. They don't understand so well that they have to protect the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, and ego from contamination. So depending upon how much the mind becomes contaminated by the modes of material nature and what modes it becomes contaminated by, one gets another material body. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna lays out, you know, the basic principle. If one is influenced, if the subtle body is influenced by the mode of goodness more than anything else, you know, to the greatest degree, then one will perhaps get the body of a demigod even. If consciousness is infected more by the mode of passion, one will more likely attain another human birth on this planet. And if one's consciousness is heavily infected by the mode of ignorance, then one will take the body of a plant or an animal or some kind of hellish body in a lower planetary system. So there's a whole system for arranging that. The Vedic universe is basically a whole system for moving conditioned souls from one planet to another, from one body to another. Krishna has his demigod agents that are responsible for such things, moving souls out of bodies into bodies. It's going on constantly. You know, if we could actually see, you know, souls like little sparks, you know, all over Los Angeles, you would see souls coming into material bodies and going out of material bodies constantly. And just like we see the airplanes taking off and landing and cars going here and there, if you could actually see the souls like bright little lights or something like that, you'd see that they're constantly departing and arriving. So, and all these souls, they're covered by their subtle material bodies. When the soul leaves the material body disintegrates, but the subtle body remains with the soul for as long as it's in the material universe. So it's said in the teachings of Lord Kapila that the process of devotional service dissolves the subtle body. Because as it's described in this verse, it's this subtle body that attaches us to the gross physical bodies that we take one after another. And in that, those gross physical bodies were entangled with the material energy. So it's this subtle body is like this glue that attaches us to all that. And it's very strong. It's like a super glue. But the process of devotional service, it said in the teachings of Lord Kapila, is so strong that it can gradually dissolve the subtle body that is covering the soul. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, there are these advertisements you see, you know, and it will dissolve anything, you know, like this. But that's actually, you know, devotional service is advertised like that in Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a little subtle, But it's actually a very strong statement that this process of devotional service is the only remedy, you know, for curing the disease of material existence. So it operates on the subtle body, especially the mind, and that's why, you know, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport, you know, the importance of engaging the mind in Krishna's service. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita also. Madmana bhava mad bhakto. You know, put your mind on me, and that way you'll become my devotee. Of course, Arjuna points out that the mind is very restless and obstinate. It's going to pull in the opposite direction. So that is a large part of devotional service. You know, Krishna explains to Arjuna, well, yes, the mind is difficult to control, but by constant practice, you can bring the mind back to the spiritual objective. When it wanders away from the spiritual objective, bring it back. And it takes constant practice. So we're all doing that. You know, during our japa, you know, we have to drag the mind back from wherever it's wandering to the sound of the holy name. When we're practicing devotional service, you know, the mind may want to drag us in other directions. We have to drag it back to the mission of the spiritual master. And in that way, you know, gradually we can purify the subtle body, dissolve it by the practice of devotional service, and become situated in our original spiritual form. So I'll stop there. Anybody have any question or comment? Yes?
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. And in the class, you mentioned about how the modes of material nature affect our consciousness and our destination of the next life. And I just wonder, because everything is under the influence of the three modes of material nature, including the animals and plants, and does it also apply to them, like the moment of their death, when they think of something, they will get a body?
There are 8,400,000 types of material bodies. And each body, type of body, is a vehicle for a soul. Now, the human vehicle is considered to be very special. It's different than the other ones because in the human form of life, Krishna gives the soul the ability to make choices. It gives it the ability to, if it wants to, rise above the influence of the modes of nature. So if the soul in the human form uses its free will properly, then the soul will get another human form or become liberated, go back to Godhead. If it doesn't, then it will go into another species. The body is like a vehicle. And to operate a vehicle, you need a license. Like if you want to drive a car, you have to have a license. And if you operate your car properly, you keep your license. If you use your car in the wrong way, you hurt other people with your car, you don't use it properly, then the government will take your license away, and then you can't drive a car anymore. You have to get around some other way. So if we don't use the human form of life properly, then the soul is put into other forms. And in those other forms, it doesn't have that same opportunity. It doesn't have the freedom to act according to the directions of Shastra and become free from the modes of nature. It's more or less completely under the control of nature. But there's a process of evolution by which, you know, the soul spends a certain amount of time in one type of, you know, plant or animal body, and then another one, then gradually it will come back to the human form, and then it will again have the freedom to act according to Krishna's directions or not. So, yes, Swavas? So the plants and the animals, they are under the modes of nature. Now, they can get some advantages if they're somehow or other they come in contact with devotional service, with devotees. You know, they can skip over, you know, some of their births and come to a human form again very quickly. But generally, the general rule is they are completely under the control of the modes, and they make progress automatically through different species until they come to the human form again, where they have the freedom to choose different modes of nature and act according to Krishna's direction or not. Swavas.
Yeah, thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. You made me think of this question. Why is it that if we've been given this opportunity in human form of life, which is special, as you mentioned, why is it that we are so much still attracted to animal propensities? In other words, you would think that if you get this elevated form according to the other species of life, why is that animal propensity of eating, sleeping, mating, defending so powerful still within the living entity that you know, it'll just bypass human life and go right back into, you know, animal life?
Well, the material body is there, and for it to, you know, the gross material body is there, and it has those propensities. But we're given instruction in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam that how to satisfy those propensities in such a way that's good for us. In other words, we have to eat, so Krishna gives us instructions how to eat. We have to sleep, we get instruction how much we should sleep. We we don't have to mate, but that tendency is there, and if one can't rise above it completely, there are descriptions how to engage it in Krishna's service. And defending, there are also descriptions how we do that. And there's kind of a minimal qualification for remaining in a spiritually progressive state. So it is difficult, but that's what we have to deal with, and how we deal with it determines what result we're going to get. So it's not easy.
What's the can I take it?
Yeah.
What could somebody who's not following the Vedic instructions, you know, they're not following the Bhagavad Gita or anything like that, but according to their, according to their, like, the best of their intelligence, they're trying to be a good person, or they're maybe following some conventional religious system, and they're genuinely making an effort to, you know, be a good quote-unquote good person, but they don't know anything about the Vedic scriptures, and they're not following the Vedic scriptures. So what could they expect to have happen to them? Will they get another human body in their next life, or will they just degrade into the lower species? You know, because it's like there's an expression, ignorance of the law means, it's not an excuse. So, you know, as far as we're concerned, the Vedic scriptures are the absolute authority of what's right and wrong and what's, you know, elevating and what's degrading. They're not acting in reference according to that, but according to some sentiment, they're just trying to be a good person or maybe following some conventional religious system. So is there any benefit in that for them, or are they just, is it tough luck? Just like if somebody, you know, goes through a red light and they say, well, I didn't know you. You know, the officer will say, well, tough luck. You're supposed to know. Is the question clearer?
Yeah, I mean, Prabhupada was sometimes asked, you know, if somebody's following Christ, where do they go? And so, oh, they go where Christ goes or something like that. So, it's, you know, sometimes in our, even in our scriptures, it talks about principles. It doesn't put labels on things. You know, it talks about truthfulness, mercy, austerity, cleanliness. So if somebody is truthful, if somebody is merciful in some way and austere and clean, you know, they're principles. If somebody is following a certain principle that is recognized as spiritual, then they'll get a good result. Now, they may have to remain in the material world because they're not getting the complete result. So even a human form in this world, you're still subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. So it's a question of what is going to get you complete liberation from the material energy. One might just get another human birth.
That's a definite possibility. That
yeah.
They can get you.
Okay. Time to go. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You have to be completely free of material desires, and you would have to know